Hello and welcome to Best Comics Ever, presented by Comic Book Herald. I'm your host, Dave Busing, founder and editor-in-chief of comicbookherald.com, and as Barry Allen says to Wally West in DC Universe Rebirth number 1, how could I ever forget you? Welcome to part 2 of the Best Comics Ever deep dive into DC Comics DC Rebirth, now completing its second full year. Today we'll be diving deep on the second year of DC Rebirth, whether or not the era of publishing maintained its reputation into year 2, and the biggest moments of the year in the DC Universe. To clarify, this will take us from approximately June 2017 through June 2018, aka present day. Throughout Best Comics Ever, we'll go deep on topics of conversation around the pick for Story of the Month, with a focus on themes, impact, and innovation, and then in the final section, I'll be ranking the comic or comics on Comic Book Herald's list of the best comics ever. The list is currently upwards of 375 comics from Watchmen to Wanted, and is stacked with recommended reads. If you want to check it out, just go to comicbookherald.com/thebestcomicsofalltime, with a hyphen in the URL between each word in the best comics of all time. We also have mysterious benefactors from our Patreon to thank. These are the people who went on to patreon.com/comicbookherald and pledged to support the site and all comicbookherald.com initiatives, including reading order guides and guides to on how to enjoy comics for both new and longtime fans. This month in our mysterious benefactor tier, we would like to be thanking Professor Pride. Thank you, Professor Pride, for supporting Comic Book Herald and for all that you've done to keep myself and the site up and running and happily engaged. A quick note about spoilers here on Best Comics Ever. We will be talking about events that happened in DC Rebirth Year 2. I'll be discussing it as someone who has read the vast majority of the comics. If you are very, very hard line about keeping spoilers out of your world, I recommend you come back after you've read more of the material. In the meantime, I will try not to give away anything that is too shocking or spoiler-infused, or give warnings if I am about to do so. But, for example, I will be discussing the end of DC Metal. So, if that's something, and it doesn't ruin the event, in my opinion, to talk about it. Nonetheless, if that's something you want to hold off on, come on back here later after you've read. So, how is DC Rebirth maintaining momentum into year two? So far this decade, the big two superhero publishers have been defined by branding and line-wide eras. For DC, it's the New 52 and DC Rebirth, with DCU sprinkled in for the diehards. For Marvel, it's Marvel Now, followed by a now laughably scattershot collection of all new, all different Marvel, Marvel Now 2.0, Marvel Legacy, and currently, Marvel Fresh Start. The better an initiative or nomenclature resonates with readers, the longer it's likely to last, and the second year of an initiative is really the true test. There is something of a grace period in the early going of a new line-wide branding, but by the second year that will have almost fully worn out and you're left with just the comics and the state of the storytelling. With the New 52, Year 2 became unfortunately all too clear that plans beyond the initial reboot, and admittedly very successful marketing that went along with that, the plans weren't particularly well put together throughout the remainder of Year 2. One of my biggest concerns for the state of DC would be that despite the general embracement of Rebirth and its early success, it's destined to make the same mistakes as DC's New 52. Fortunately, I don't think that's the case to date. Since I do think Rebirth Year 2 is generally quite good and offers a lot of positives, let me start with the devil's advocate argument that DC Rebirth is repeating the mistakes of the New 52. One of the biggest fatal flaws in the New 52 stemmed from teases and mystery that never became fully realized. The events of Flashpoint, a 2010 to 2011 comic book event written by Geoff Johns, indicated that mysterious forces were at work in creating the New 52 and destroying the old universe. And of course, by year two, it was becoming increasingly necessary to begin explaining the holy moly major story that was promised. Honestly, I won't go into details or spoilers other than to say the events that promised to deliver this built-up resolution, Trinity War and Forever Evil, drastically failed to deliver. You can make the case, as I'm about to, that Rebirth is actually on the exact same collision course with the exact same creator at the helm. This is, of course, Geoff Johns, and his work writing the DC Universe Rebirth No. 1 introductory one-shot sets the stage, and here come the spoilers for DC Universe Rebirth No. 1, and frankly, a lot of what the stage is for Doomsday Clock, DC's ongoing event. So it set the stage for the hands of Dr. Manhattan and the Watchmen universe as the true cause of the New 52's legacy-damaging Big Bang. These Watchmen universe connections have been teased throughout Rebirth in books like Batman Flash the Button, JLA Panic in the Microverse, and Superman the Oz Effect, among others. You can find those on Comic Book Herald's Doomsday Clock reading order, all promising to conclude in the big 12-issue Doomsday Clock mega event combining the DC universe and Watchmen characters for the first time. So to recap, we have Geoff Johns writing about mysterious forces causing a line-wide rebrand and culminating in an event launched during that rebrand's second year. It's history destined to repeat itself. But here's why I'm less concerned. There's a lot more to Rebirth and so many interesting directions that the Watchmen universe connections are a strangely tangential curiosity. Now, Doomsday Clock could reach its grubby mitts directly into the universe and shake up the core of Rebirth Year 3. Assuming, of course, it concludes by the time Year 3 is over in June 2019, which there are, as of at the time of this recording, mid-June 2018, there are 5 issues of Doomsday Clock out in the wild, and of course it's a 12-issue series that has been plagued by already delays. So that is not a guarantee. But Doomsday Clock, honestly, to me, it feels more likely to add to the mix than destroy. We could be proven wrong. Time will tell with Doomsday Clock, but that is the threat. So, what are the monumental moments of DC's second year? What, if you kind of need a fast-track guide to where the state of the DC universe is right now, the state of Rebirth as progressed through the second year, these are the items that I would point to as either the most interesting, the most fascinating, or the most telling about what's actually happening in DC Comics that you might want to consider checking out in more detail if you haven't already. The first one, stemming out of Dark Knight's Metal, which of course we covered here on Best Comics Ever in our first monthly topic, but you had at the end of that series, and again, spoilers, for the very end of DC Metal, I promise this really doesn't ruin the story, it's just kind of an after-effect epilogue, but nonetheless, spoiler, I'll give you a second here if you want to bail, the breaking of the Source Wall. What is the Source Wall? It is the kind of edge of the cosmos in the DC universe. It's most typically associated with DC's New Gods. So Darkseid of Apocalypse, Orion of New Genesis, their source wall is sort of the edge of all things, basically beyond it. There was always this implication or suggestion that that's where, like, the hand of God was, or in the case of the New Gods, maybe the hand of Jack Kirby, aka the creator of those characters in the early 70s, but nonetheless, that wall, which is where the New Gods' ancestors have been sort of vaguely housed over time, that's been broken. And so to recap, Metal is the biggest DC Rebirth event to date, spanning around 20 total issues between the main event, one-shots, and crossovers. Impressively, the Batman-centric event is simultaneously one of the most entertaining developments of Rebirth's second year, and the foundation for what's to come throughout Rebirth Year 3. With core issues helmed by New 52 Batman creative team Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, Metal explores the reveal of DC's dark multiverse and Batman's darkest realities. Most notably for developments, the final page sets the stage for the formation of a new ongoing Justice League and a broken source wall, infinitely expanding the known mapped architecture of DC's multiverse. Now, the multiverse has been pretty carefully mapped out over time, most notably by Grant Morrison in the series Multiversity. The breaking of the source wall really blows all that up. It can be remapped again, it can be never mapped again, and just remain infinite. So there are a lot of directions that could go, and that's pretty exciting. Metal also generated into, in year two, the new age of DC heroes. While by the end of Metal it was mostly an afterthought, one of the major outcomes of the event was the discovery and the unleashing of the literal META, aka Metagene. The Joker, of all people, reveals to Duke Thomas, Batman's not sidekick and definitely not Robin since midway through the New 52, that Duke Thomas, is a carrier of these genetic powers that we would certainly never call, mutations. Duke's expanding power set results in his new career fighting Gotham City crime during the day of all times as DC's Signal. Likewise, an entire line of DC's New Age of Heroes was released immediately following Metal, despite infrequent, occasionally very obscure setup directly in the event itself. Hawkman and Hawkwoman are also back through Metal. Metal concentrated a fair amount of its energy on the return of both Hawkman and Hawkwoman, tying their past into the exploration of the dark multiverse. Sure, Shiera turned into Lady Blackhawk and tried to kill Wonder Woman, and Carter Hall turned into a hawk dragon and tried to kill Batman and Superman, but at the end of the day, the Hawks are back in town. This was a big development for the State of DC Rebirth, as Hawkman entered the era with the vaguely new 52 Rebirth hybrid miniseries titled The Death of Hawkman. Metal seems to largely ignore this series, which was more of an Adam Strange joint anyway, which is all the better for the collective Hawks, now back in their own ongoing, with Shiera taking a role in the new Justice League title, and Carter Hall in his own Hawkman ongoing, written by Robert Venditti with art by Brian Hitch. What else happened? Slightly outside the sphere of Metal, here in year two, we had the end of the Rebirth Bat family in Detective Comics. One of the best team lineups to find life in the DC Rebirth era came in the pages of Detective, with Batwoman, Tim Drake, Robin, Spoiler, Cassandra Cain, or rehabilitating Clayface, Batwing, and one I'm forgetting, Azrael, joining Batman in his war on crime. Things really went south for the team in Rebirth Year 2 as Batwoman grew closer to her father's militarized solutions and even went so far as to put down one of the major teammates on the team. But for all intents and purposes, the team of Detective that started the era is no more. And that's kind of a shame because it was one of the more interesting, fun team series of the Rebirth era, but it also is a very effective conclusion. Also in the Batman universe, we have the biggest news of all is the engagement of Batman and Catwoman. So following the proposal of Bruce Wayne to Selina Kyle in Batman number 24, Rebirth-era Batman has found significantly more thrilling high points. With steady writing by Tom King, artists like Clay Mann and Joel Jones have helped the flagship title drop instant classics like Batman Annual number 2, which took kind of a future-flung story at a happily married Batman and Catwoman, and a Super Friends story in which the Bat, the Cat, and Lois and Clark go on a double date at the county fair. Oddly, the era kicked off with the War of Jokes and Riddles, a post-Batman Year One, but only slightly post, look at a shockingly violent takeover of Gotham City by Batman's most sinister villains. It can be a challenge. There are a lot of people, and I think, for the most part, the Batman run has been pretty generally beloved, but there are a lot of people who seriously hate this take on Batman by King, and I think a story like The War of Jokes and Riddles will help define for you what your take on it is going to be, as it's a really brutal defeat almost across the board for Batman. He loses over and over and over again in a series that really jumps around a lot, so it's highly worth checking out, I think, but there are definitely mixed reviews as to whether or not this is a great or a terrible Batman run. Other big news in DC Rebirth Year 2, Darkseid ain't a baby no more. And as fun as that is to say, despite the hilarity of baby Darkseid memes and the adorably tiny version of Apocalypse's Tiger Force at the center of things, Darkseid is all grown up again. DC Rebirth Year 2 did get a wee bit of mileage out of the tiny embodiment of evil and metal, but unfortunately the pages of Wonder Woman had to go and restore the all-time great villain to his formidable adult size. Admittedly, the ongoing baby plot point was an increasingly strange and outdated reference to the new 52's Darkseid War. Instead of feeling tired and drooly, Darkseid is now planning to wage war on the Amazons in an effort to reassert himself as the rightful Lord of Apocalypse. In other villains with a twist take, Deathstroke has gone good with his new super team called Defiance. Deathstroke's been one of Rebirth's best comics since launch, with Christopher Priest and Carlos Pagulian helming one of the best true anti-hero titles in publication. Rebirth Year 2 found Deathstroke going blind, coming out of the experience with a serious desire to form, or at least manipulate, his own super team for hire, aka Defiance. While the legacy of Defiance is more likely to include a cool, downloadable content white and black costume for Slade Wilson in any future Injustice games than it is necessarily Deathstroke joining something like the Justice League, it's fascinating to see the cold and calculating mercenary at least considering the high road. One of the other biggest pieces of news to come out of Rebirth Year 2 was the launch of Mr. Miracle, written by Tom King with art by Mitch Garrett. It doesn't take a doctorate in armchair comic book publishing to assert that having the best book on the stands is a pretty smart move. DC nailed that stroke of good fortune with this 12-issue limited series, Mr. Miracle. It is almost universally considered the best superhero comic, and perhaps just the best comic on the stands. Mr. Miracle is the rare critical darling that is equal parts smash hit, weaving astonishingly relatable humanity into Scott Free, Big Barda, and an entirely upside-down fourth-world mythos. Mr. Miracle has set the bar for all future in-continuity series to follow. The real question now is what's real, what's not, and what will it mean for New Genesis and Apocalypse in the continuation of Rebirth? On the Superman side of the DC Universe, you have Action Comics, the Oz Effect taking place in Year 2, even before Universe Rebirth No. 1 was teasing a looming blue hand in the fabric of the DC reality, New 52 Superman comics were teasing the mysterious Mr. Oz, the hooded figure methodically monitoring and manipulating the world around the Man of Steel, carried straight on through to Rebirth. Once the involvement of the Watchmen became clear, fan theories about Mr. Oz's identity centered around one likely candidate, Watchmen's Ozymandias. Whether this was the intended identity all along, or was changed once too many fans expected this reveal, Mr. Oz stood revealed in Action Comics The Oz Effect as a genuine surprise. And here's a spoiler for The Oz Effect. If you don't want to know who it is yet, you haven't seen these headlines, skip ahead about 20 seconds. 3, 2, 1, Jor-El, a.k.a. the father of Superman. We also had, at the sort of midpoint of DC Rebirth Year 2 and through the end of what would be considered the second year, one of the biggest developments, the launch of Doomsday Clock. So the biggest tease from Rebirth's launch, or at least the one that got the most people talking, was undoubtedly the assertion that someone from the world of the Watchmen had effectively caused the New 52. There have been a number of comics building upon that moment since that time, from Batman and Flash and the Button, to the Atom Secret Mission in the Microverse, and the pages of Justice League of America, and many more. Rebirth Year 2 finally committed fully to exploring the mystery, though, with the launch of Jeff Johns and Gary Frank in Doomsday Clock. The 12-issue Watchmen sequel is an event unto itself, bringing the likes of Batman and Rorschach face-to-face for the very first time. I will say my initial take on Doomsday Clock is a little cold. It's not a stellar start to the event for me, but I'll be honest, I paused at issue 2, deciding I'm just going to read it all when it comes out, so it may be improving steadily over time. Time will tell, and I'm sure I'll be talking about it on the Patreon and Comic Book Herald as the series concludes. One additional, final thing I want to talk about in terms of Rebirth Year 2 and directions for the publisher as a whole is the launch of Batman White Knight. Sean Murphy, artist and writer's eye-opening limited series, is the spiritual DC Black Label predecessor. So much like the posthumous connection to Vertigo and Alan Moore's time-running Swamp Thing, or Grant Morrison and Richard Case on Doom Patrol, Batman White Knight was Black Label before it was cool. And for those who aren't in the know, DC announced earlier in 2018 that they will be launching a prestige sort of number of limited series under this Black Label imprint. That's where we'll be getting things like Frank Miller writing and John Romita Jr. drawing Superman Year One, which, if you're familiar with Frank Miller's work, he did Batman Year One with David Mazzucchelli, and that is one of the all-time great comics, so that has a lot of people excited. And there's all sorts, loads of other cool titles and creators involved in what's to come from Black Label. I highly recommend you to give that a look if you're interested, but White Knight is kind of the spiritual predecessor to all of this, with White Knight imagining a Gotham where Joker breaks good, if you will, with style and intelligence, transcending the well-worn concept and building a unique Batman universe unto itself. The series is out of continuity, won't be impacting DC's Rebirth's ongoing narratives, but its launch during Year 2 marked an important direction for the publisher as a whole, carving space for highbrow, artist-driven projects outside the scope of the standard superhero comic. Year 3 builds, where are we going? Just to mention real quickly, without really a whole lot of discussion, there's a new Justice League in town. So Justice League No Justice came out in May and sets the stage for Scott Snyder writing an all-new Justice League, which promises to include a much broader roster and kind of tell seemingly a much bigger story than has been the case for Justice League, which has been kind of fledgling throughout the Rebirth era. We will have the wedding, the official wedding in Batman number 50 of Batman and Catwoman, with that setting the stage for Tom King's promised next 50 issues going to 100 on the series. You have Brian Michael Bendis now officially joining the DC Comics ranks and launching Man of Steel this month as a weekly ongoing for Superman that a lot of people are seemingly pretty pleasantly surprised and happy with. We'll have the conclusion, knock on wood, of Doomsday Clock. And finally, just announced this week, there's going to be Heroes in Crisis, a 7-issue event written by Tom King with art by Clay Mann. That is going to be a huge DC Crisis level event comic. So I'm very excited for that one to come out. Again, there's not a ton of info at this stage as it just launched, but it's a promising looking year three for Rebirth as well. Again, I'm pretty happy with what they did in year two. Definitely an improvement over their last initiative, the New 52, as that progressed. So things are looking up for the publisher right now, and time will tell, of course, if they're able to maintain the success and the quality over time. Best Comics Ever is written and produced by myself, Dave Busing. You can find more of my writing at comicbookherald.com, where you can also find a complete collection of Best Comics Ever episodes. If you like Best Comics Ever and Comic Book Herald, you can also find more of the site, including comic book panels influencing each podcast, at Comic Book Herald on Twitter, Instagram, or at facebook.com/comicbookherald. If you like the pod, please subscribe and leave a review sharing why you enjoy it. If you don't like the podcast, please tear open a pillow, fill it with acorns, and wait until winter for one of the acorns to hatch a reply. Music for Best Comics Ever is by Anthony Weiss. You can find more of his music at anthonyweiss.com. Best Comics Ever is made possible by listener support on Patreon. You can learn more about supporting the work and receiving Comic Book Herald and Best Comics Ever exclusive content at patreon.com/comicbookherald. Thanks for listening, and as always, enjoy the comics.